Good morning, church. Is my mic? Can you turn my mic up a little bit, please? Gentlemen?
Yeah, perfect.
Good morning, church.
We have got a big day ahead of us. Let me see. I'm looking for a couple people. James Braley's here. Is Rosaire still here? Okay. Wow, turn me down a little bit, or my gain maybe. First thing we're doing is one of the coolest things that we get to do. Very excited about this. Sounds like he is too. So we'll get right to Gideon Joseph Smith, a baby dedication. Come on up, guys. Family can come up. And why don't we get the elders up here too, anyways, because we're going to have them up in a few minutes. Where's Nick? There he is. Stand up, Nick. Oh, this is funny. I have notes on here from the last baby dedication, and this is not Josie. So, Gideon. Hey, buddy. You look pretty happy and content looking right out there. We'll do that. Hi. Hi. Little man. All right. Amanda and Jonathan are doing this out of obedience to the Lord. We've seen it modeled in the scriptures. And they recognize that all of these little kids belong to the Lord. And they're a blessing that we're allowed the privilege and opportunity to care for, to raise up and train in the scriptures and the way of the Lord. But this man will have to make his own choice, just like all of us. So Amanda and Jonathan have brought him before the Lord and have brought him before you. And they are professing that they dedicate and recognize that he belongs to the Lord. And they're committing to raise him up in that way. And also doing that in front of you or asking for help. And I just got out of the bathroom, washed them. Good, so we'll let that go. Let's pray for him. Father, Lord, I thank you so much for Gideon. And I thank you for this family, Lord, and the ministry that they provide to your church and to these kids. And Lord, I know they do things outside of this church too to bless, and you've appointed them different areas of ministry, Lord, but the primary one is standing on this stage with us. And we ask that you'd bless, Lord, that you'd receive this dedication today, this mark in time that they recognize that he belongs to you. And Father, I pray that you would equip and encourage and strengthen them as parents to equip and strengthen and build up this young man as they have with their other kids. We ask for your blessing on them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We're recognizing deacons here in a second, but we should leave these little guys right up here. Where's Nick? Just kidding. The other thing that we want to do this morning, very excited about this, we want to recognize a couple of men, if we can get... where are they? Matt Foster and Brian Porter up here. You know what's cool about these guys? These are like the last guys in the world that want to come up here. And I want to read to you, if you look at the screens, 1 Timothy 3:8-13. You remember as we're going through the book of Acts, back in, I think it's Acts chapter 6, the Hellenists were complaining that their widows weren't being taken care of. And the elders at the time said, well, it's not right that we be taken away from prayer and the Word of God. And just turn my gain back just a little bit, I think. And it's not right that we be taken away from that. So appoint men to do the physical acts of ministry and to do the daily distribution and provide for the needs of the body in that way. But the reason why I wanted you to read these scriptures with you is between deacons and elders, there is no character difference. There's no real qualification difference scripturally. They're held to the same standard, but it's just a difference in ministry.
where the elders may serve in a pastoral role, they may serve in a counseling role, prayer, and teaching the Word of God. The deacons take care of the physical needs and ministering to the body in that way. And I want to read this to you. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13, it says, "Likewise, deacons," this is following the qualifications of elders, "in the same way, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mysteries of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested. Then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus." The cool thing about both of these men is they live this criteria. And it's been a type of thing in this church, which is sort of the way it happens around here. We look and observe and say, oh, we need some deacons. And we look around and say, oh, these guys already are. The Lord has already done this. And sometimes it takes us longer to recognize that. So I want to lay hands on these men and pray. We'll start with Brian. So come on over here, Brian. The elders will join me. Matt, you can join us. Let's pray over the ministry of this man and his family. And it speaks of leading in their homes. And I think sometimes we misinterpret leading as dragging, but leading in a way that your wife and your children and other people want to follow as you follow Christ. And I've seen that modeled in Brian's life. So let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for Brian and his family. Lord, I thank you for this calling that we believe you've ordained upon his life. Lord, you knew this day would come, and you've seen it, and you've done this work. And Lord, we just pray, even now, this recognition, Lord, we know what that comes with. It comes with a bullseye, and often comes with attack. So we pray for protection on him and his family. Lord, we ask for blessing in his ministry. Lord, we ask that this church body, your bride, would be blessed as he serves you. So, Lord, we recognize the work that you've done and recognize Brian as a deacon in this church. And we pray in Jesus' name, may he get the glory. Amen. Amen. And Matt's an interesting guy. What's that? Oh, you have a speech? Do you see the shades changing color? Matt's, I guess, I'd say fortunately, but unfortunately, been the recipient of many of my hand-me-downs and lawn equipment and different stuff like that, which seems like a blessing and then becomes a burden. And sometimes that's how ministry is, Matt. But he has certainly been a blessing. And oftentimes when I'm looking for our deacons, they are called to other things, and Matt's here. Matt's serving. Matt's cleaning up tables and doing things. Everything that you don't see, Matt's all over it. And Katie has been a blessing, and their family. We're just overjoyed to have them and look forward to see what the Lord is going to do with them. So let's pray for Matt. Father, Lord, these criteria that we read from your scriptures are intimidating. And none of us on this stage meet them without Christ, Lord, without forgiveness, without redemption, and continual cleansing and filling of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, just to see the heart of Matt as we asked him to pray about this, and he diligently sought the scriptures and sought your leading for his ministry and this ministry within his family, Lord, and how that fit first, as he knows that he's been called there first. So we do ask for your blessing on them, Lord, as they raise and train up children to follow you. Lord, that he would begin his service there, as the scriptures say, and support his wife. And Lord, that the family would support his ministry here as they come alongside and serve those that you've called to be a part of this church body. So we ask for your protection on them. We ask for your blessing and continually equipping, Lord, for what it is that you've called for them to do here. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, man. Oh.
Can you give this to Gideon? Thanks. So we also do that so you recognize who the deacons are and you'll stop bugging me. No. We want you to know who the servants are here. It's pretty obvious when you see these guys. If you don't have a Bible this morning, slip a hand up. We want you to be able to follow along. We're going to be in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, we're going to pick up about halfway through, but first I want to pray for a couple of things. Thank you for your prayers. Nicole and I were able to get away for a couple of days and go to a pastor's conference in the Finger Lakes. Most of you guys are familiar with Bill Gallatin. Scott, his son, is pastoring the church there now, but Bill was one of the guys that came and poured into us and beat us up and loved us and all of that. Joe Foch was there and John Randall and a lot of stuff, Bob, I need to talk to you about on pre-trib stuff. I got big bundles of information. But it was a blessing and we need that and we covet your prayers. Thank you for your prayers. I never in a million years could have anticipated the cost of ministry, I guess, you know, on my family and different things at different times. So it is a blessing for us to just be on the other side of the pulpit and get poured into and loved. So thank you for your prayers for that. Donna Chapman, our dear sister, is back in the hospital. She's fallen a couple of times. They've done some tests on her hearts that have concerned them. So she is still there. We ask for your prayers for her and we'll pray for her. Our sister Jean Harvey has dealing with some health struggles, and she remains in the hospital, so we want to pray for Jean and her family. And my wife is still recovering from the brutal beating at the conference. No, she had an opportunity to go with her mom to go down and see our youngest babies at Gordon College today, so we want to pray for their travel and visit. Join me. Father, Lord, we thank you for that we can cry out and you hear us. Lord, we thank you for the blessings in this church and the babies and the need to add on. And we thank you for those that you've called into different aspects of ministry. Lord, we thank you that we're just here, that we can get together and hear from you. And Lord, we know that you've overheard and you've seen all that's happened here today. And Lord, we just ask that you would breathe on your word this morning, that you would speak to us, Lord, as we know there's no value in anything that I could say. So, Lord, we come desperately in need to hear from you this morning. And know that you'll bless that. Lord, we ask that you be with our sister Donna and our sister Jean. Lord, that you would heal in miraculous ways, that your presence would be known by them in an intense way. Lord, that they would be overwhelmed by your love. I ask that you bless Nicole, Lord, as she travels and gets to see our kids today, that you'd bless that reunion and their time together, that you'd keep her safe as she travels. And Lord, we want to meet you here today. We want to hear from you. So please do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 10, we made it halfway through to the 17th verse, but I want to back up just a little bit. This whole section kind of goes Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 11, and repeats itself a couple of times. And I want you to consider some things as we go through this. Let me kind of give us a running start, and I'll read a few verses here, starting in the 9th verse. On the next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the 6th hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. All kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." I expected shouts of amen there, but we'll just keep going. Verse 14, "But Peter said, 'Not so, Lord, For I have never eaten anything common or unclean. Lord, I've never done, I don't care how hungry I am, Lord. I can't do this. I've never done this. Anything that's unclean makes that which is clean unclean as well. Remember the week before when we covered this section, we talked about you can say not so, and you can say Lord, but not so Lord is inconsistent. You know, if you're saying not so to the Lord, then he's not truly your Lord. It's you that's the boss of your life or the Lord of your life. But Peter just cannot conceive of this thing. You know, he's been trained up in church tradition and church law and an Old Testament of this is clean and this is not clean, and he is very religious about that. So when this is presented to him, he can't even fathom of it. Even if I starve to death, Lord, not so. I've never done it, and I don't plan to do it now. Verse 15, and a voice spoke to him again the second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. So Peter, I don't really care about your feelings on this. I don't really care about your church tradition. I don't really care about any of that. If I call something clean, it's clean. If I truly am your Lord. And I love verse 16, and we kind of ended there and went over that quickly. This was done three times. The whole vision and the animals coming down with the sheet, and that's repeated again in the 11th chapter, which, don't worry, we're not going to get to today. But Peter's stubborn, right? Peter's, I won't say like you, but like me. And so you can visualize this whole scene where it happens, and he doesn't really know what's going on. His initial response is, no way, Lord. You know, not so, Lord. And then God says, I imagine, Peter, did you get it? No. And then he does it again. Peter, did you get it? No. And then he does it again. Right? We kind of skip over that, but this was done three times, laid out to him, this vision, so that Peter would get it. Anybody ever have to have the Lord tell you something more than once or in a different way? Thank you. You're my peoples. It was done three times. And then the object was taken up into heaven again. And then where we pick up today, verse 17, says, now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gates. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. I want to pause. I want to hesitate. I'll try not to get off on too many things, but look at verse 17. How do we respond? Peter didn't get it, right? The Lord gave him this vision, put him in this trance, however that all happened. And God showed him something, revealed him something to him, and then told him, hey, I've called these things clean. Don't call unclean what I've called clean. And he didn't get it, and God repeated it, and God did it again. And then verse 17, Peter had to choose how he responded to that, and it said he wondered within himself. And I'm challenged by that. You know, how often do we do that? How often do we come to church and, I don't want you to raise a hand because you'll hurt my feeling, but how often do we come to church and maybe you're challenged by the scripture or a message is given or you hear things and you get up, get your kids, get busy, go out the door, and then a half hour later, you see somebody that didn't make it that day and say, oh, well, what did he talk about today? Or what was in church today? And it's, I don't know. Or let me think. Oh, it was Acts chapter 10. You know, but, or even a lesson that the Lord is pouring out to you, and you just don't get it, so you move on. You know, how often do we take those things and actually spend some time in wonderment and contemplation and seeking God on why, Lord? Why was I at Old Town Christian Fellowship on the 29th of September? Was it coincidence or did you have something specifically to say to me and out of this vision? You know, do we take the time to wonder about that? I've talked to you guys several times that when I go to a conference, or like last week when Nick taught here, I'm sitting down there and I got a notebook in anticipation of hearing from the Lord. You know, he's got me here. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason beyond just my role, but he loves me and he wants to pour into me. So he's put me in that place to hear that word. And sometimes I have to wonder what in the world is in this. But if I don't do that process, if I don't sit and meditate on his word and take that in, like one of the things when we were driving back from this conference, I said, Nicole, I can't wait for this week to go back through my notes and let each teaching, each lesson pour out in me and meditate on that. And Lord, what in this was for me? You know, and so that's what Peter does. He wonders within himself what this vision, what she had seen, meant. Well, why did you show this to me? I don't get it. You had to do it three times, but help me to understand. Behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house. Remember, in the last chapter, he stayed at this guy's house that was a tanner. God's setting Peter up for this whole thing. Peter was this good Jewish male, followed kosher laws. And then he stays in a guy's house that deals with dead animals. You know, so this is a big deal, what's going on in this chapter, in Acts chapter 10. I want you to think now what prejudices you may have in your life. You know, and I think, oh, we're good, godly people. We don't do that. We don't have that. But, you know, you can think about racial lines or religious lines or identity lines or sexual orientation lines. I can see I'm hitting different things. Let me keep going. Family lines. Amen. Hallelujah. But there are different things. Maybe when you look upon, maybe economic lines. Maybe you see somebody and they're dressed to the nines and you make all these presumptions about them and what they must do with their money. Or you meet somebody else and they look like they have nothing or maybe smell like they have nothing. And we make certain presumptions about them and judgments about them. That's what was going on in Acts at this time. I mean, just to set the context, the church up until this point was Jewish. You know, and that was kind of the philosophy and the mindset of people, is that there was this Jewish God. This God for the Jews, and this God for the Romans, and this other set of gods for the Egyptians. And even those that first came to Christ, the 120, all Jews. The day of Pentecost, the 3,000 that were added, all Jews. And even after that, as those that came to Christ, they became Jewish first. You know, you want to become a follower of Christ, you really, in a sense, have to first become a follower of Moses. You know, and you have to get circumcised, and you have to become a Jew, and then you can get baptized into the faith and become Christian. So what God is doing here is something radical in these minds. It was the Jews and the Gentiles, and to make it simple, all of those prejudices that you might have in your mind, you know, that's what it was like for the Jew. There was the Jew and everybody else. All of those other lines that you may have prejudice against, they were all Gentiles. And it was said that Gentiles were only good for fodder for the fires of hell, is what it was said. That burnable stuff. So they would keep hell burning. I don't know if you've ever felt that about any of your prejudice. But that's where these were. That's why this was such a big deal of what the Lord was doing. So they made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about this vision, so he initially wondered, God, why did you send this to me? Why did I see this three times? And he wondered about it and meditated on it. And then he thought about the vision. This continued to weigh on him. And then after that process that we far too often skip, when we don't get something, it's just like, I'll figure it out later, or we get distracted by other things and we don't allow the Spirit to speak to us. And God's primary way of the Spirit speaking to us today is through his word. You know, we don't dig out the scriptures. So, but Peter thought about the vision in verse 19. And then, after his wonderment, after thinking and meditating on what the Lord had shown him, the Spirit then said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Verse 20, "Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." I want you to hear that. Who sent these men? God. And we're going to find out they were non-Jews, which is a big deal, that God used these non-Jews. I mean, Peter is just absorbing all of this. We read right through this, and it's like, oh, he went here, he did this. But I want you to understand, this was like his whole life, being raised up as a good Jewish kosher guy, following these religious laws, and isolating and separating himself from the unclean, from the non-Jews. So verse 21 says, "Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius, and said, 'Yes, I am he who you seek. For what reason have you come?'" Legitimate, right? Guys come to the house. And then we see who these guys were, right? Two Gentiles and a Roman soldier coming to the house that Peter was in. They said, "Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among the nations of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summons you to his house and to hear words from you." Then he invited them in and lodged them. That is radical. They were to separate. They were to separate from non-Jews. You know, I met a guy out here last week that had some issues. Some mental health issues, you know. But and he's out here talking to me about different things that are going on in his life. And he's like, "Oh, you got to come over, come down to my apartment, and we'll have a beer." And he's like, "Wait a minute, it wasn't like, oh, this is a church. Is it? Wait a minute, you can't come in because I don't know you. We'll stand out in the yard and have a beer or a soda or whatever." But I couldn't come in because he didn't know me. But that was the deal with a Jewish house. There would have been. You go into this house of the tanner would have been unclean. First of all, that Peter went in, his table would have been unclean because there would have been unclean things. So you become unclean. So for Peter to bring these guys into his home or to invite them in, invited them in and lodged them, which means that he entertained them as guests, brought them in as guests, two Gentiles and a Roman soldier. Remember, who sent them? God sent them into his home. So whatever prejudice you may have, rich, poor, fat, thin, I don't know what it is, skin color or whatever, it was like the worst of that, knocking on your door and then bringing them in to lodge with them. God is changing, not just the nation of Israel, but doing something in Peter's heart right here. You know what? This process that he's going through, anybody ever, let's have a show of hands. Anybody ever been taken out of their comfort zone by God? That's where Peter's at. Absolutely where he's at. So he's going through this thing. Think about it. Everything that he's ever been taught, all of his religious tradition, all of his church practice is being challenged by this right now. So he's got to compare all his religious tradition to the teachings of Jesus, what he just saw, what he just experienced through the ministry of Jesus Christ. So he's got to compare all his religious traditions even to, well, what do the scriptures actually say? What even do the Old Testament scriptures say? You know, this is what we've been taught about the Gentiles, and we've been taught to separate, but that's not what I see in my Bible. You guys ever get challenged by that now? The church teaches this, or we, you know, we've been brought up believing certain things, and now as you dig in and you go through the scriptures and let the scriptures go through you, you've been challenged by some of that? Or you go to respond to a certain sin or a certain sinner in a particular way. And then you read the Gospels and you see how Jesus responded to sinners. And I know in different parts of my life, I've been radically challenged by that. And that's what's going on with Peter. I didn't see this in Jesus. I don't see it in the Scriptures. Come on in, guys. You're my guests. And then the next day, Peter went away with them. You know, God says, don't question it, go with him. And what I think is so cool here is as this story unfolds, is Peter honors this guy, Cornelius, that he's never met, that's a Gentile. And we'll see when Peter shows up, Cornelius honors him. I mean, couldn't Peter have said, you know, answer the door and these guys show up that are non-Jews and they say, hey, our boss wants to see you. And how would you respond? Well, if your boss wants to see you, your boss can get off his hiney and come see me. I mean, this would have been a two-day journey of walking to go see this guy that he didn't know. But he's being obedient to the Lord. The Lord told him, I've sent these guys. Do it without question. And he does. The next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. So you've got this group now, right? These three guys have come, and you've got Peter, and I think he grabbed three or four other guys, and they're heading down. The following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them. Aren't you blessed by that? Cornelius is not a believer at this point. He's not a professing Christian, but this guy has faith. Right? He has faith that this was instructed by the Lord, and he's sending these guys, and he's actually waiting for God to answer his prayer. I mean, we pray, right, when there's a trial or there's circumstance or there's something impossible, we pray knowing God can, but Cornelius believed that God actually would for him. That's the battle, isn't it, sometimes? I know God can do this, and God would do this for Shane or for Dan, but I don't know that he'll do it for me. Peter's going through this thing in his head now. God sent his son. God values this guy that I don't know. God values this guy that I used to have prejudice against so much that he sent his son to die for him. Man, that ought to change the way we look at people, huh? So Cornelius is waiting. He believes this is going to happen. He's waiting on them. He'd called together his relatives and close friends. That's a risk, right? It's like, as a young guy, telling anybody that you're going to take your driver's test. Not the smartest choice. You're always going to fail your first time if you're a guy. He believed so much. He invited family and friends and relatives, close friends. They're coming. And Peter was coming in, verse 25, Cornelius met him. So as he's coming in, Cornelius goes out. He meets him. He falls down at his feet and he worships him. I mean, this is Peter, like this religious icon, right? The first pope, Peter. I say that, but I'll tell you, I really don't have a problem with people saying that Peter was the first pope. He held a substantial position in the early church. You know, he's a teacher, instructor, minister, all of that, kind of a leader among the apostles. The problem I have is that there is a second pope or a third pope, that somehow was handed down by men. I do have an issue with that. So he comes out and he falls at his feet and he worships him. And look at his response. Peter lifted him up. Peter didn't just say, oh, that's nice, or stop. Peter actually goes over and takes him and lifts him up and says, stand up. No introduction at this point. He comes out, stand up. I myself am also a man. I'm just like you. I'm just another guy. And as he talked with him, he went in and he found many who had come together. So get up. Come on, let's go inside. Let's see what this is all about. And there's others gathered there. Then he said to him, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. This was like religious law that ruled and governed their life. But, so it's against church tradition, it's against church law, but God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. So Peter went from not understanding and having this vision relayed to him three times to getting that it wasn't just about eating pork chops. This was about people. This was about, I sent my son to die for whoever will call on my name. And Peter says, all this thought that I had in my head and this judgment and all that, While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So when we look at a sinner, we understand that Jesus gave his life for them. And it ought to impact the way that we see them. And God has shown us that, I hope. God has shown Peter that. He says, I shouldn't call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, for what reason have you sent for me? So Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayers has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Check that out. You ever questioned, does God hear the prayers of a non-Christian? And I don't know what you've been told. I know what I was told about that. I'll tell you, he guarantees he'll hear your prayer if you pray in the name of Jesus. And not just as a tagline, like, God help me get $1 million in the name of Jesus. But if you pray in the heart of Jesus, praying consistent with his word, approach the Father through Jesus, the scriptures promise that those prayers will be heard. But here's an example of a non-believer. Cornelius was a good man. That's uncommon to be able to say. But Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms, the good things that you've done for others, you've provided for their needs, that's remembered in the sight of God, he says to him. A good man. But then look. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here. This is what this vision that Cornelius received, whose surname is Peter. He's lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. That's like a preacher's dream, right? I want to hear what the word says. Lay it out for me. Some of you guys have prayed for opportunity to share your faith, and you've been kind of shockingly confronted with that. Hey man, I've seen something different in you, or I heard that you're a Christian now. Tell me about that. And you've been praying for that opportunity, and when it comes, it's come to church on Sunday at 10 o'clock. Here's a card, you know, or whatever. We get all, I don't know, twisted up. But he presents it to Peter and says, you've done well to come. Therefore, we're all present before God to hear the things commanded to you by God. The prejudice that we have. I know we've got a couple different things weaving through this. Remember John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, really the last of the Old Testament prophets. He was the one that in John 1:29 saw Jesus coming towards him and kind of announced who he was. This is the Messiah. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then you read out that story of John the Baptist and you find out that he actually got arrested and he was in jail. And it seems as though his faith was shook a little bit in Matthew 11. You can read through that, but verses 4 and 5 says, go tell John. Because John sent message. Would you go ask? Would you find out, is this Jesus, is he really the one that we've been waiting for? Or should we ask for another? Should we look for another? And Jesus answered and said to them, go tell John the things that you hear and the things that you see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. That's a whole nother list of prejudice, isn't it? That's a whole nother list of people that are generally looked over. The blind, we assess certain value. You know, they're limited in what they can see, so we limit them sometimes in value as a people. The lame, those that can't walk, those that can't get around. Do we think about negative things on that? Lepers, you know, we don't deal with that so much today, but all kinds of judgment on lepers. But isn't there modern day disease that we just presume this was contracted in this way or whatever, or in a sinful way? Oh yeah, Jesus died for them. But we don't talk to them. the deaf hear, the dead are raised up. How about the poor? How about the people with signs out asking for help? It runs throughout us, guys. I'd encourage you to spend some time wondering this week, Lord, what is it in me? Why did I hear this message? And what prejudice lies within me? Lord, what judgments do I make? And see if the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to you. So I want to hear what God's commanded. He's saying, Peter, what God sent you here. Speak. Then Peter opened his mouth, verse 34, and in truth I perceive that God shows no partiality. Peter's saying, I had this vision, and I'm here in this Gentile home with a Roman soldier and a bunch of others, and in truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, oh man, every nation. Do we have prejudice against other nations? Do we have prejudice against foreigners that come in? I'm not saying nations shouldn't have boundaries and all that stuff. I'm not doing a political rant. But when we see a foreigner, what is our initial judgment on that? I mean, do we fear? I know there was a time a few years ago when we feared when we saw people from certain nations. Or do we think, before we think, man, I wonder if they know Jesus. Maybe they came from a Muslim country. I wonder if they're a Christian. Do we think, I wonder if they have a green card. I wonder if I should follow them. I wonder if they're part of some group. You know, it was our first thought, do they know Christ? Because in truth, I perceive God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever, that prejudice, that face, whatever came to mind when we were talking about that, that's the whoever. In every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Not always by us, but is accepted by him. God shows no partiality. Remember, prior to this, that's why this is so radical. Prior to this, everyone was Jews. And Peter's saying, God shows no partiality, and neither will I. If God's called you clean, man, then let me pour out the good news. And look what he says. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about not just saying things, but doing things, and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. All who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all the things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. When you share Jesus with people, guys, talk about the cross. Talk about the blood that was spilled. Talk about the payment that was made. Because that payment is required by all of us. Either we pay it or he pays it for us. So it's critically important that we talk about the cross. But look what he does. Him, verse 40, God raised up on the third day and showed him openly. If you talk about the cross, you have to talk about the resurrection. Otherwise, it's worthless. Otherwise, it's like every other religion led by a man who today sits in a grave or lies in a grave. Worship dead false gods. We worship a risen living Savior. God raised him up on the third day and showed him openly. Man, Peter pouring this out to them, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the God, to the people. Who's us? Us. That's what it says, us. To preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. I thought that was my ministry for a while. That belongs to Jesus. I'm to love and share this news that Peter just talked about. Verse 43, to him all the prophets witness that through his name, can you read that word with me? Whoever. Whoever. To him, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. Fell upon the Gentiles, fell upon the Roman soldier, all of those that heard this. The Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. They couldn't believe it. You know, not just that they couldn't come to Christ, but that they didn't have to become Jewish first. That they didn't have to first get under the law before they could be rescued from the law. They were astonished, it says. As many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, on the rich also, on the different skin color also, on the different orientation also, whoever comes to him. It's poured out. Verse 46 says, "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." This must have blown Peter's mind. This was what happened to them. You know, on the day of Pentecost, the same outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and now he's seeing it in these Gentiles. "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." This Cornelius, who God heard his prayers and God remembered the alms and all these good things that he did, he still had to come to Jesus. All of those good things weren't enough. And I think sometimes it's harder for the good people to recognize their need for a Savior. To recognize their need for a substitute to pay the penalty, because the wages of sin is death. The price to be paid is separation from God. Then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized. Check this out. You know, it's like, hey, if the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you today and you know that you need to be saved, go in the closet over there so nobody sees you. It's between you and God. Make this profession of faith. And that's, you know what, I don't want to mock that, because that's real and that's legit and it is between you and God. And it can be very powerful and real. And if you haven't done that, do it right now in your seat. Don't wait for the end. Make things right with God. "God, I'm a sinner. And I need you to pay this price that I can't pay. I need your forgiveness. I need you to be my Savior and my Lord." And you can do that before you and God. But these guys, these Gentiles that had previously been rejected, come to a saving faith, the Holy Spirit pours out on them, and he commands them, right now, you guys got to get baptized. Let's do this right now. Commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And it was a public recognition. You guys are part of our family. We are all in Christ now. Then they asked him to stay for a few days. Maybe we started again, I don't know. It doesn't matter. This is for you guys. Listen, I love going through the scriptures this way. You know, I was so blessed to be able to go away this week and get poured into, and I'll tell you what, I couldn't wait to get back. Because God wants to talk to us. God wants to reveal himself to us. You know, and he's so patient. Like, Peter didn't get it, and he kept trying to show him. And he wondered, and he thought about it, and the Holy Spirit spoke. There's so much in this passage, guys. I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you've never made that decision, or maybe it was so long ago that you did. And you've taken back control, or you've taken back lordship of your life, that you do. You are in that place where you need to say, "Man, God, I don't even know how I got here, but I need you. And I don't even have all the words, the right things to say, but you know my heart. I just need you. I need to be rescued." Anybody here this morning in that spot want to slip a hand up just so we can pray for you? All right. So the Holy Spirit spoke, or you got that pitter-patter in your heart, and you know, I can't believe it, and I don't want to do this in front of my church family because I've done it 73 times this year. But I need this. I need him. I need this to be right. Or I've had these thoughts about other people or any of that. I want to ask for forgiveness of that. If you know the Lord just has spoke to you today and you just want prayer. Or maybe there's a good person here like Cornelius. You know, if you've relied on your religious prayers, or you've relied on the things that you've done, but you've been lacking in that relationship. And you need to get that right. I'm not trying to call you out, but I'm trying to support you in prayer and let other people pray for you. So any of those circumstances meet, slip a hand up so we can pray and people can be aware of it. All right. I'm not baiting to try to get a response. I know the Holy Spirit's doing some stuff. And I know that we can't do this alone. Will you pray with me? Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. And I thank you that Peter, and I thank you that this Gentile Cornelius, and I thank you that myself are not in any way good enough to approach you or face you or make it through any judgment before you, short of your son Jesus. And that Peter doesn't tell him about all these great things as he goes to bow before him, all of these things and the way that you've used him. He just tells him about the birth, death, and resurrection of your son Jesus, and that there is a way, there is salvation in the name of Jesus. And Lord, you've seen the hands here this morning. You've seen the hearts that are bowed, or maybe even the heads that have been bowed in shame, and they just can't bear. Maybe it's humility or embarrassment just in front of you, Lord, to raise a hand in front of others because they know that there's the expectation of follow-through, and they've blown it so many times. And Lord, in your word, you tell us that you will heal our backslidings. We just need to surrender to you. So Father, may your Holy Spirit move in this place. May you encourage, may you heal, may you refresh, may you be our strength, may you add to the kingdom today. We pray these things in the name of Jesus so that he'll get the glory. Amen. God bless you guys.